Hare Krishna. So Krishna has described that how an Ashtanga Yogi is much greater than a Tapasvi, than a Jnani and a Karmi. Now Krishna is going to describe about a personality who is much greater than Ashtanga Yogi also. So let's see that in Shloka number 47. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yoman sameyukta tamomatah. So here Krishna is saying, yoginam api sarvesham, of all the yogis, all the different yoga processes that we saw, now Krishna is saying, of all the yogis, shraddhavan madgatenantaratmana, the one with great faith, who always abides in me and always thinks of me within, madgatenantaratmana. And then it is said, bhajate yo mam, and he renders transcendental loving service unto me. Same yukta tamaha mataha. So he is saying that such a person is yukta tamaha. That is, he is most intimately united with me in yoga, highest of all, that is tamaha, and yukta tamaha, the greatest yogi. Me mataha, this is what is my opinion. So it's like Krishna is finally is giving a sentence at the end, a very, very important statement. He says that a bhakti yogi, so here it's very clear, the one who renders loving devotional service to me, that is a bhakti yogi. So bhakti yogi is the topmost as compared to all the other yogis who are there. So here, now various wonderful points are there when it comes to the bhakti yogi. Before that, before we enter the purport, let's see this yukta tamaha in detail. Now when it comes to the hierarchy of the yoga process that we saw, different types of yogas. So in the ascending hierarchy of yoga, there are many karma yogis. So many karma yogis are there at the bottom. Now above them, we'll have, surely have jnana yogi, but then above them we have the ones who are practicing ashtanga yoga. So better than all of them is one who has risen to the level of dhyana. So such a person is properly engaged, yukta. So person who is in the level of dhyana, that person can be said that he is yukta, he is properly engaged. Now the person who is above dhyana, that is the level of samadhi, in the Ashtanga Yoga itself, these hierarchies is there. So the one who is there at the level of samadhi, such a person is engaged even better. So such a person can be called as yukta tara. So yukta, at the person on the level of dhyana, and the person who is on the level of samadhi, yukta tara, better engaged. But who is the person who is engaged to the best? That is, a person who is on the platform of bhakti yoga, he is engaged in chanting, hearing and serving and so many other different angas of bhakti. So he is properly engaged, he is the best of all. So here the word says yukta tamaha. So yukta, yukta tara, yukta tamaha. So this word yukta tamaha is very important here to note. Here it is said that the word bhajate is significant here. Bhajate has its root in the verb bhaj, which is used when there is need of service. So here when we say that bhajate yo mam, when Krishna is saying this line, that shraddhavan bhajate yo mam is actually talking about the person who renders devotional service onto me, service onto me. Now service with love and faith is especially meant for Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can avoid worshipping a respectable man or a demigod and may be called discourteous, but one cannot avoid serving the Supreme Lord without being thoroughly condemned. So, doing devotional service or serving the Lord is not optional. The one who is not doing that person will be thoroughly condemned. Every living entity, so why is it so? Every living entity is part and parcel of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus, every living entity is intended to serve the Supreme Lord by his own constitution. Failing to do this, he falls down. Now, bhakti, what is bhakti basically? Understanding that we are part and parcel of Krishna and serving Krishna, that is bhakti. Now, when you are part and parcel of Krishna and not serving him, so that basically goes on to say that we are the condemned personalities on this planet. So it's not, bhakti is not optional, bhakti is mandatory. This is what is the understanding that we need to have. Everything here belongs to Krishna, ourselves, we ourselves belong to Krishna. So it's proper wherein we offer everything back to Krishna in his service. So this is what is the understanding of bhakti. So anyone who understands this will surely have a good realization that bhakti is not optional, bhakti is mandatory. Each and every person has to do bhakti. The one who is not doing bhakti, such a person is condemned like anything in the Vedic Shastra. In fact, such a person can also be categorized in the category of a sinful person. The culmination of all kinds of yoga practices lies in bhakti yoga. All other yogas are but means to come to the point of bhakti in bhakti yoga. So this we have seen in different yoga practices. At one yoga practice, the person attains the stage of Brahman. Then at another one, he is attaining the stage of Paramatma. But only when they come to bhakti yoga, they attain the stage of Bhagavan. So we can say that it's a yoga ladder. It's like slowly and steadily the person is going up the ladder and finally reaches bhakti yoga. Yoga actually means bhakti yoga, because it's the topmost. So whenever we say yoga, it should actually mean bhakti yoga. All other yogas are progression towards the destination of bhakti yoga. Like for example, karma yoga without fruitive results is the beginning of this path. So nishkama karma yoga that we discussed in our previous chapters, in chapter number 2, 3 and 4, we discussed about nishkama karma yoga. Okay, so let me talk about this now. In the first chapter, we saw entire history, that what happened on the battlefield and all that. Second, third and fourth chapter, we saw that the description of nishkama karma yoga was given. In chapter number 5, karma yoga containing jnana within, that's what we discussed. And finally, in chapter number 6, we discussed Ashtanga yoga process. So here, that's what is given. Nishkama karma yoga is given here. When karma yoga increases in knowledge and renunciation, the stage is called jnana yoga. So by practicing nishkama karma yoga, when the heart gets cleansed, the knowledge is revealed within. So that knowledge, and along with that comes renunciation, vairagya. So together, the person actually reaches the stage of jnana yoga. And when jnana yoga increases in meditation of the super soul, see in jnana yoga what happens? The person is just focusing on Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Lord, the effulgence coming from the body of the Lord. But then when he starts focusing on the super soul, meditating on the super soul by different physical processes, and the mind is on him, it is called as Ashtanga yoga. Hope now it is clear. What is karma yoga? And how it goes to jnana yoga and how it goes to Ashtanga yoga. And one surpasses the Ashtanga yoga and comes to the point of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, it is called bhakti yoga, the culmination. So this point is very nice to understand, that how finally the person reaches bhakti yoga. So I have a question here. So is it that everyone has to go through this step by step by step up? Is it so? We have to climb the ladder like this? When we are there, say we are not practicing at all anything. So first we have to do karma yoga, and then we have to come to jnana yoga, then we have to practice ashtanga yoga, and then finally we are eligible to practice bhakti yoga. Is it so? So say in a building, I want to reach 100th floor. So one way is what? No, I'll climb the stairs and go up. Simple. But then the best way is to do what? Take an elevator and press the button, 100th floor, and go to 100th floor. Same thing is what is this yoga ladder. Yoga ladder is like climbing the stairs and finally reaching the destination. But then we can take the elevator and directly go to the destination, and that elevator is like bhakti yoga. So for bhakti yoga does not depend on any of them. But these three, karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, they actually depend on bhakti yoga in various ways. So in this way we understand bhakti yoga is the topmost, it is independent, and it is the most easiest one and the most accessible one to all the people, especially in the age of Kali Yuga. So bhakti yoga is given the topmost importance, and here Krishna himself is saying, suppose in a firm there are different products which are released. Now how to know that which product is the best? We go and ask the owner, can you please tell us that which product is the best product? And the owner will tell, according to me this is the best. Me mataha, this is the best product. So, same thing Krishna is saying. Me mataha, according to me, according to my opinion, this yoga process is the best one. And what is that? The process of bhakti yoga. So, in this way, we understand that Krishna himself is giving a stamp to bhakti yoga, saying this is the best process. The yogi who is progressive is therefore on the true path of eternal good fortune. One who sticks to a particular point and does not make further progress is called by that particular name. So anyone who is stuck in that yoga process, he'll be called as Karma Yogi or Jnana Yogi, Dhyana Yogi or whatever. If one is fortunate enough to come to the point of Bhakti Yoga, it is to be understood that he has surpassed all other yogas. Therefore, to become Krishna conscious is the highest stage of yoga. Just as when we speak of Himalayan, we refer to the world's highest mountains, of which the highest peak, Mount Everest, is considered to be the culmination. So, like Mount Everest is the culmination in the Himalayan ranges, similarly, in all the yoga process, the culmination is Bhakti Yoga. Finally, it is said that the ideal yogi, concentrates his attention on Krishna and the beautiful form of Krishna as Shyama Sundar, who is as beautifully colored as a cloud, whose lotus-like face is as effulgent as sun, whose dress is brilliant with jewels, and whose body is flower garlanded. There are many, many shlokas in our Vedic scriptures which describe the beauty of Lord Shri Krishna. One of the very nice shlokas that is given is Kasturi tilakam lalata patale vakshastale kaustubam nasagre varamauktikam karatale venum kare kankanam सर्वांगे हरिचंदनम सुललितम कंठे च मुक्तावली गोपस्त्री परवेष्टितो विजयते गोपाल चूड़ामणि. सो हियर इन दिस पर्टिकुलर श्लोक इट इज सेड कस्तूरी तिलकम ललाट पटले. ऑन ललाट, ऑन द फोरहेड, दिस ब्यूटिफुल पर्सनालिटी हैज पुट अ ब्यूटिफुल कस्तूरी तिलक. वक्षस्थले कौस्तुभम, so on vaksha, on the chest region, he has a beautiful gem that is called as Kaustubha gem. Nasagre varam auktikam, and on the just on the tip of the nose, he has got a very, very beautiful pearl that is hanging. Nasagre varam auktikam karatale venum kare kankanam, and he is holding a beautiful flute in his hand, and just by playing that flute, he captures the heart of all the living entities. Venum kare kankanam sarvangi harichandanam sulalitam kanthe cha muktavali. His entire body is anointed with beautiful fragrant chandan, harichandan, and kanthe cha muktavali. He is wearing very, very wonderful ornaments. In that, the three line pearl necklace that is there, that is looking very, very beautiful. And what is he doing? Gopastri paraveshtito vijayate gopala chudamani. He is attracting the hearts of all his devotees in Vrindavan. So this personality who is known for his beauty, Shyama Sundara, this personality is the point of meditation in Bhakti Yoga, the topmost process. Illuminating all sides is his gorgeous luster, which is called Brahma Jyoti. Now from this beautiful personality comes the effulgence that is called as Brahma Jyoti. And he incarnates in different forms. So we know there are so many incarnations, Ram, Narsingha, Varaha, and so on and so forth. And he descends like a human being as the son of Mother Yashoda, and he is known as Krishna, Govinda, and Vasudev. He is the perfect child, husband, friend, master, and he is full with all opulences and transcendental qualities. If one remains fully conscious of these features of the Lord, he is called the highest yogi. So basically, the one who meditates on the name of the Lord, the form, the beautiful form of the Lord, the leelas or pastimes of the Lord, the qualities or gunas of the Lord, and his abode, the dham of the Lord. Such a person who is always constantly meditating on all this, such a person is called as the highest yogi in Bhagavad Gita. By whom? By the object of meditation, that is Lord Shri Krishna himself. So in this way, Krishna has described this entire Dhyana Yoga, and finally he says, okay, Dhyana Yoga is there. But then the topmost thing is Bhakti Yoga. And out of all the yogis, the topmost yogi is a bhakta, my loving devotee. So after describing all this, Krishna has concluded very, very nicely that how bhakta and bhakti is the topmost. So here we complete the sixth chapter successfully. We have gone shloka by shloka and we have covered all the 47 shlokas. So now let's see all the shlokas at one go in the next video. Hare Krishna.